Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Stronger version, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to miss out on the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Paul's writing to a church that's new and young, and they didn't have the Scriptures. They had the Old Testament. They didn't have they had some of the stories of the Gospels, but they didn't have the New Testament that we have today. And so he's training them and he's teaching them and he's correcting them. And they're writing him a letter and saying, well, what about this? And why do you say that? And what's going on here? And people were prophesying and speaking in tongues and different gifts were manifesting of the Holy Spirit. And it was powerful because that's how the church was birthed. But then it got chaotic and people were confused and people were put into places of division. And some of the unbelievers that were coming in their midst were like, what's going on here? At one point it was like, God's among you. And at other points it was like, are you drunk? It's confusing. And so today, the division that happened in the Corinth church is still here. And we can't do this pendulum thing where all of a sudden the gifts are so visible and manifest, the Holy Spirit's so alive that it freaks us out, that we go way over here and it's like, nope, 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 no Spirit. I can't control that. You're right. You can't control the Spirit. Neither can I. And we can't be so worried, well, the Word of God, and we're going to stand on the Word of God, and it's our... You know, it's our foundation, which it is. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. And we're, and then it's like, well, wait a minute. That's just so liturgical and so just the, all you do is this and the Word and you're missing the Spirit. So now we got to go over here and the pendulum goes back and forth in reaction. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are part of the people of the Word. And you are people of the Spirit. So let's stand together in the sense of a saying, this is my authority. Let's stand together as I read to you our authority, what we believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're standing, you're saying, this is my foundation. This is what I believe. This is how I get my knowledge of what is true and what is right and what is good. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed or you're accursed by Jesus. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of the service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities and ministries, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another an utterance of knowledge, and to another according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the ability to distinguish between the spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of the tongues. All of these gifts, these varieties and differences of gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit who gives proportionately to each one individually, as He wills, as God wills. Father, instruct us. Holy Spirit, illuminate Your Word to us. Soften our hearts to hear Your Word. Open up our minds to stand on what is true, what is solid doctrine of Your Word. And let us live as people of the Word and people of the Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name, who prayed and promised that You would give us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to do Your job today, to do Your work, to do the work of exalting the name of Jesus Christ and testifying to who Christ is, so that we can testify to who Christ is in our lives, and do the work of teaching us and guiding us into truth, so that we can be built up for the common good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you're wondering what kind of church we are, we're the type of church that goes through the Word of God. Sometimes we'll do an Old Testament book, a New Testament book. It's not based on what the pastor wants to preach on, because I don't want to preach on this. I didn't want to preach last week on head coverings and whether you should wear a hat or whether your hair should be long or short. I like preaching on don't be a stumbling block to one another. That's okay. But then when you start getting particulars, like why are you wearing that color? Why are you wearing that? How come you're not wearing a suit? Why are you wearing a hat? Why aren't you? It's like, oh, now I'm getting in people's faces. And so, oh, I'm glad I'm done with that one. And then the whole submission thing, you know. Well, then we should submit to Christ. And if a man of God submits to Christ, then his wife will have no problem submitting to him as the head. Ooh, submission. So I was like, whew, done with that one. Phew, now 12. This will be easy. Spiritual gifts. We just read about the spiritual gifts. Everybody loves spiritual gifts. That's nice. You just read it and pray about it and say, thank you, God. Thank you, you're a good God who gives gifts. Praise You. Amen. Close the service. Oh, now then I start studying and I'm like, and I was reminded, well, wait a minute. There's all kinds of division. There's all kinds of people that are really strong about what they believe about the spiritual gifts. So I'm like, oh man, who is? Guest preacher. I think I have a bug from Nepal or something like that. You know, I got to stay home, man. Let's get somebody else in to come. We're a church that goes through the Word of God. This is our guide. Now let's read it. Let's study it. Let's understand it. And let's figure out how to apply it into our lives. So a 12-point message for you today. You ready for it? 12 points. It's all about one point, though. We've been given the Spirit to exalt the name of Jesus Christ for the common good as the body of Christ. Coming together, that's what they were. They were coming together, corporate worship. The gifts that we're talking about here and in chapter 14, corporate worship. How does the Holy Spirit have the freedom to work in our midst so that Christ is exalted and this body here is built up? First 4 points are about just the foundation. This is the foundation. What are the teachings of the Holy Spirit? Next 4, real simple, going to go through it. Just you'll hear my bias, I'm sure. Whenever there's controversy, I try not to give my point of view. Let you study it, let you come up with it, but you're going to hear some of my bias today. And part of it is so you understand what kind of church we are. 4 views, differing views of the Holy Spirit today in the church today. And then the foundation, but then how does the Holy Spirit function? How does that work? And how does the Holy Spirit work in us? What is it supposed to look like? And we'll see if we get to those 4. So 12, yeah. Whew. Let's go. What's the foundation? First of all, spiritual gifts have been given to us. We need to understand. We don't want to be uninformed. We've been given a gift by a gift-giving God. And they were given to each believer. Therefore, I want you to understand, verse 3, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus. They had in Corinthians this unique thing where they were actually, because there was so much idol worship, he talks about that. Now, when you were following pagans and these false idols, you were worshiping things that didn't have a mouth, didn't have ears. You couldn't pray to them. They couldn't do anything. They were meaningless idols. And so they would write a curse about an idol, and they'd say, this idol curses you, and this god curses you. And they would have like they called curse tablets. And so archaeologists have found some of these. And so somehow this weird practice of cursing somebody actually got into the church. And so like, wow, so Paul's saying, listen, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you could never say cursing on you or curse, Jesus is cursed, and you could never say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit saying Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who exalts. Jesus said it. The Holy Spirit will come. He will teach you what I taught. He won't teach you anything new. He will exalt Jesus. He'll lift me up and He will draw people. He'll convict people of sin and He'll convince people of who Jesus is. And so then He goes on and says, now we have all these differences of gifts. One Spirit, one Lord, one God who empowers us. And then verse 7, to each one is given a manifestation of gift. We've been given. The Greek words pneuma is spirit. And then charis is grace. And so you'll see this word in the Greek used a couple of different times. Pneuma, charis, spirit gifts. Pneuma, charisma, gifts, plural. So we get this word charismatic from charisma. And it's that, it just means it's grace. It's gifts of God's grace. It's God's grace that we can know Jesus Christ. It's God's grace that we have been given gifts to build up the body of Christ. It's nothing that we do in our own. And so when you see people who really highlight spiritual gifts to the detriment of the church, is what has happened is, it's like, ooh, you've got that gift. You have that gift. Ooh, aren't you special? And now the shifting has gone off of the gift giver and it's gone onto the person who receives the gifts. Ooh, you speak in tongues. Oh, you prophesy. Oh, you're a preacher. That's not it. It's about God and how He gifts us all, every one of us. And then we'll see this next week. You'll hear the Nepal report. And then I really believe that, again, God's timing, as we share about what happened on Nepal, you're going to see evidence of the other latter part of 1 Corinthians 12, how it's the body that works together, how this person's gift and that person's gift, their gift, work together. And if we didn't have each other, we would have not been able to do what God called us to do. And so we need each other. We need the body. And each of us has a gift. We need you to put the gift that God has given to you to use in the work of the body. Not because of works, not because of your worthiness, spiritual giftedness. In our American culture where we love to lift up personalities, we take a spiritual gift and we say, ooh, they must be spiritually mature. That's not it. Sometimes God has given a visible spiritual gift to somebody who's very immature. It happened in the New Testament. And they had to disciple that person and say, this is how you use that gift. And so, discipling and growing the church, gifts of God's grace, by His Spirit, by His choice, as He decides, as He determines. It's very clear in the Scripture. One Spirit to drink, baptized in the Spirit. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the weeks to come, but basically it means we are fully immersed in the Spirit. The Spirit comes, we can't accept Christ, we can't come into relationship with Jesus Christ without the Spirit doing a work in us, exalting Christ, convicting us. We receive the Spirit and then we ask for Him to fully immerse us, just like baptism. We need your fullness. There's too much of me in me. There's too much of the world in me. There's too much sin in me. I need to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. Some of the letters talk about later. I need the Spirit to have full control of me. Fully immersed. And that's a daily thing. You have me. You have me fully. When we were in Nepal, they kept saying, drink more water. Hydrate. You're getting cramps. You're going to get tired. You're going to get woozy. Got to hydrate. I loved it because then I didn't say, I'm weak or I'm tired. I didn't have to say that. I didn't have to admit to that. Need to hydrate. Let me stop and hydrate. Sounded so much more purposeful or something like that. Actually, I'm just tired. Give me a drink of water. And so I hydrated. Well, what happens when you hydrate? When you're walking, it's okay, and you're exercising. But then at night, okay, I don't need to say it. And so Zach's already thrown me under the bus a bunch of times. Man, that guy gets up so many times to pee. I can't believe it. Wakes me up every time he has to go to the bathroom. Well, I hydrated. Hello? I was hydrating all day. It was full of me. Now it comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. You've heard it. Water in, hydrating. Water out. Holy Spirit in. Holy Spirit out. World in, world out. We need more of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit immersed. And each of us have the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit fill us up. Spiritual gifts are given to the believers by God. It's His design. It's His decision. Spiritual gifts are given to every believer. You see that in your insert, different gift passages from 1 Corinthians 12 where it lists like 9 of them, and Romans 12 where there's 7 listed, and then Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter and other passages that just give a gift or just talk about the gift that's been given. The key in here is this, the diversity of gifts, many gifts, everyone has it, and it all fits together and all works. It's the body. Spiritual gifts given to every believer. We are blessed by a gracious gift-giving God for the use within the church. And why? For the building up the body. Verse 7, so clear, the manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual, your spiritual people, Paul is saying. Be people of the Spirit, don't be people of the world. And you've been given a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it doesn't make sense that there's so much division in the body, because we can't be like a, you know, when people are sports fans, they got that big, I was hoping I could get one of those big hands, you know, with a finger, number one! It's just this huge hand. What if we're all a hand? What if we're all a tongue? What if we're all just ears? It's obvious when we get into the body of Christ, it's such an obvious thing. We need each other. We need all the different gifts. You have a gift. I have a gift. Let's bring the gifts together so that we have the body of Christ working together. Different gifts, same God. Different manifestations of how the Spirit is working, same Spirit. Different strengths within the body, same Christ, same Lord that we are working together to magnify. Try to excel. Paul's going to say later in chapter 14, excel in the gifts that build up the body. You see, he's correcting something. Tongues got to be too much of a singular issue in the Corinthian church. Too much about tongues. Oh, tongues are great. Tongues are this. And it got to be a distraction. And he says, tongues are good. He's not saying tongues are bad. He says, I speak in tongues. I wish everybody spoke in tongues, but you don't. That's what he says. But if you want to excel in something, you want to pray for a gift, pray for the gift that is used to build up the body. That's not about you. Oh, if I had the gift of tongues, I could worship God so much more freely. I could do this. I could. If we have all the gifts that God's been given to us, we can build up the church. How does this gift that God's given me strengthen you? How does it help you? How can I speak today, whether it's in church or in that fellowship hall area there or teaching the children, in a way that strengthens and builds up the body? How has God prepared me in a way so that the body can be built up? Excel in the gifts that strengthen the body. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So again, it's not about this highlighting, putting the spotlight on me or my gift. It's about serving. It's about quietly serving. Giving your gift that God's given to you and using it to strengthen somebody else. So that they don't even see you. They see God. They see the church at work. Serving one another. Building up. Christ gave us apostles, prophets, Ephesians 4:12, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ is built up until we all reach unity in faith. Built up. Orderly, we're going to see that. Intelligible gifts, not stumbling blocks. So that the body isn't divided, but the body's working together. Spiritual gifts are given to build up the body. Lastly, spiritual gifts are given to grow the body of Christ. The main evidence of the Spirit in us, in a church, is our confession in Christ. If we can't confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord, then we really have to look at it and say, why can't I say that? If I can't share with somebody out there in the parking lot, when we go to a restaurant later, at the grocery store, at your work, at your school, Jesus Christ, then the Spirit's not working. But if we're able to share with people, this is why I do what I do, this is why we came, this is why we serve, this is why we love, because Jesus Christ is my Lord. Because the Spirit is at work to testify. And that's how the church grew. And so when Paul talks about the problem in 1 Corinthians 14, he's going to say sometimes an unbeliever or an inquirer, verse 24 or 14, comes in And if everyone is speaking in tongues, he's going to say that's a problem and that it's confusing. But if everybody is prophesying, giving a word, and there's an interpretation of that prophecy, they are then convicted of sin and they're brought under conviction because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And He convinces us of our righteousness in Jesus Christ. Then they are brought under conviction, and then they proclaim among you, God is really among you. Because Jesus Christ is exalted. And Jesus Christ is being testified. Be people of a testimony. And people added to their number, it says in Acts, the preaching and the miracles by God's Spirit and the work and the proclaiming of the Word. People were added. The church grew because the Holy Spirit was working in their midst. Deep breath, everybody. Okay? That's the first four. That's the foundation. That's what we first read in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. All those principles are there. Study them. Work at them. What's the problem? Here's the problem. There's all kinds of views. Edited by Gundry and Grudem, a book called Our Miraculous Gifts for Today. Gives four views on spiritual gifts for today. I'm going to just go over them real quick and give you a little bit of, I'm trying to be balanced, and so give you why I think there's some constructive or positive element about each view and what's the danger in each view. Because there's dangers in each of the views. Why? Because the views are coming from a human perspective. How do we discern on this? So the first view is cessationist. The gifts have ceased. Cessationism. The miraculous gifts, the extraordinary gifts have ceased. One of the commentaries I use all the time is from Matthew Henry, solid scholar. And he is a cessationist. He writes, spiritual gifts were, past tense, extraordinary powers given in the first ages to convince unbelievers and to spread the gospel. That's what they were for. They were for the first church, the first age, to spread the gospel and convince unbelievers. And they've ceased. The church doesn't need them today. We've got the Word of God. We don't need spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts to convince us. The constructive part of that is in the midst of these views, you're going to see that some they're looking for an experience, an emotional type of experience. And so when I talked with the children last week about communion, that we have this head knowledge, get our knowledge straight, and then we have our hands, we put our knowledge into work, right? Practice what we preach, and then we get into the heart, realizing that Jesus Christ died for us. Now, I'm an emotional person, pretty much. My emotions can go up and down. I like the roller coaster, you know. Happy, laugh too loud sometimes, embarrassing in public. Look at that! Dad, quiet. Cry sometimes. Won't go to see some movies if I think they're going to make me cry. No, I'm not going to do it. Because I know the emotions are right there. I'm an emotional person. I'll laugh, I'll shout, I'll cry. My nose will run, my head will sweat. This is what happens to me. Don't criticize me because I'm an emotional person. Don't put me down because of that. Some of you aren't. I don't put you down on that. Some of you don't like to be hugged. You like your bubble. It's okay. Have your bubble. It's okay. I won't touch you. It's who we are. God created us different ways. But the story of that cross doesn't ever make you cry. But Jesus died for us. And His blood was poured out for us. I don't know. Where's your heart? When you start to hear those nails being pounded, when you hear Him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That doesn't do something inside you, then I don't know. I don't know what to say. You don't have to bawl like I do. But there should be some expression of it. And so what's happened in the charismatic Pentecostal trend sometimes is this. We need it. We need to laugh. We need to cry. We need to kind of conjure it up somehow. No, we don't need that. We just need to let it flow. Let the Spirit do His work in us. Don't push it down. Don't quench the Spirit. And so the cessationists have done a good job of just saying, don't get so emotional that you're just working it up and it's confusing to people and you're, you know, be healed! And you're knocking people down. Sorry if I'm offending anybody. But here's the danger in the cessationist view. Head knowledge. No heart. No experience. Very little power. No specific Bible passage that I have found that says the gifts have ceased. If you believe this and you have this, teach me. Show me where in the Bible it says, and these gifts will be used for a time and then they will stop. Or they stopped at this date. The gifts have stopped. And our God does not heal anymore. And the miracles are done. And it's all gone. It's going to happen. I don't find it. So, sorry, there's my bias. So here's cautious, which many of us, I don't want to put anybody in a box. I'm a cautious person too. Even though I'm emotional, I'm cautious. Spiritual gifts are available, all of them, and in use today. But there needs to be a balance of the Word and the Spirit, a balance of... And that's what the constructive side of cautious is that there's this spiritual discernment. And Paul's going to talk about that in 1 Corinthians, having a good discernment. And John's going to write about it in 1 John, saying, test the spirits, test and see. Is this right? Is this good? Is this honoring to God? Is this exalting to Christ? Is this spirit that's happening right here? Is this something that God is pleased with? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the actions of my hands and feet be acceptable and pleasing to you, my God, my rock, my Redeemer. Is that true? Look around and say, is this true? Don't look around. Look in your heart first. Is my attitude pleasing to you? Is my worship pleasing to you? Is my study of your word pleasing to you? Are the words of my mouth that I'm going to say pleasing to you, God? And so there's a good constructive discernment there. The danger of the cautious is that we like to put God in our box, to put Him in our comfort zone, to keep comfortable, to be a little too cautious or casual about the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to be casual about the Holy Spirit. I don't decide what the Holy Spirit does, how He gifts, where He moves, when He moves. I don't have that control. I like control. How many people like control? Okay, come on, listen. You're in control. Raise your hand. How many people like control? How many people like to be comfortable? Don't make me uncomfortable. When you cry, Pastor, it makes me uncomfortable. When you shout, it makes me uncomfortable. Keep your voice at this level. It's very nice. Day in the neighborhood. And so we leave very little room for what Paul writes about, the manifestation, the activity of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not involved in our service in any way. Would we know it? Would we change? And so you go on a mission trip, and all of a sudden in Honduras, you see how they worship there, or Nepal, and you see how they're worshiping there. And you go, ooh, this is uncomfortable. Is it true? Is it right? Is it loving? Is it God-honoring? Is it biblical? We cannot put God in a box. Say, God will always work the way I want Him to work. Charismatic, charisma, the gifts, often associated with Pentecostal. All spiritual gifts. By the way, these C's are in the book. Somebody like, oh yeah, you got it, four C's, don't you? I might have tweaked one to make it a C. But anyways, you have to read the book to see. But charismatic and the Pentecostal, all the gifts are available. They're in use. And there's something that I don't like and I don't teach and this church doesn't teach. So I'll just throw that bias out about this Pentecostal doctrine. I believe the gifts are available. What I don't believe in is a second blessing or a subsequent blessing that when we accept Christ, when we say, I receive you, Jesus, I repent from my sin and I'm following you, which only can do by the Holy Spirit, by the way, then I receive the Holy Spirit. But then later, I need a different baptism of the Holy Spirit, a specific event where you baptize me and all of a sudden I come out speaking tongues or prophesying or something along that line. Because it happened in the book of Acts, and so that's where they pull it from. Acts chapter 19, 2, Paul comes to the church, to the people that have received the Christ, and he says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We didn't know." And so it was a narrative of something that happened. And so then they want to take this verse and make it something that's not just narrative, that it's doctrine. For did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you know? Are you informed about the Holy Spirit? No, we hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. He gives us power. He's why you're a Christian. He's the one who's going to enable you to become a new creation, to live and keep in step with God's Word. And so they teach him about the Holy Spirit. And then some speak in tongues, and some prophesy. Other gifts, not just tongues. Other gifts, if you read Acts 19, come out. And so then they try to make that just not just a narrative story, but normative, that this is what needs to happen. That there is this second, subsequent, and separate from conversion experience that says you may have been saved by grace, but unless you have this, you really aren't saved. And then if you don't have this visible act of some type of speaking in tongues, I'm not saved then. And that may be why I don't like this view. Because now all of a sudden I'm not saved because I didn't speak in tongues. J.I. Packer represents a historic view, which is mostly similar to the cautious historic. And he writes in a book called Keep in Step with the Spirit. He believes in the Spirit. Keep in step with it. Believes that the Scripture teaches the Spirit, that we are called to be led and be kept in spirit with in step with the Spirit. Reference to a second blessing has to be read into the biblical text. We have to bring it into it. It cannot be read out of it, he says. And so this second or subsequent blessing that adds to salvation, it brings up almost a spiritual elitism. And have you received that gift yet? Oh, you haven't? Sorry. You're not a real believer. And do you have the gift of tongues? Or do you have the gift of prophecy? You haven't? Okay. Wait till when you grow up in the Spirit, then you'll have it. But right now, a spiritual elitism, an emotionalism where people all of a sudden start to work it up. Oh, I don't have the gift of tongues. I gotta try to make it happen within me. If the Spirit's making it happen within you, you will know. If you are forcing it and you are trying to, and you had a vision and you say, I better check this, I better discern, is this vision from God or not? Please do that. Please pray about it. Please discern. Please ask others to discern with you before you share it. Because I've been in situations where they were praying for a miracle, praying for a healing. And someone said, I had a vision that you're going to be healed, and then they weren't. You know the damages that cause someone. Check it. Test it. You see, we had a service while I was gone. You shouldn't have done this. The pastor was gone. And you prayed with people without me. You prayed for the Wallace family without me. I'm the pastor. Wait for me. And it blessed my heart so much to hear that after the service, after the word was preached, after the worship, an invitation was given to pray for Pete because of his cancer. Pray for Linda, his wife, and his kids. And the church just gathered around, surrounded them, and prayed. You know what that is? It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working in someone saying, we should pray for this family. And it's the Spirit working in you. And some visitors were here. He said, I'm going to come and pray too. And if somebody had put their hand on Pete's back and said, see, now I'm getting emotional, so some of you are going, oh, it has to be emotional. No, that's just me. It could have been the most unemotional prayer of all. And they could have said, God, I believe you are a God who heals. God, I believe that you are the healer. Jesus, I believe that you walk this earth, that you healed people. I believe in the New Testament, I believe the Word of God, that when the apostles healed people, it was you, God. Was doing it. And I believe the gift of healing is still available today. You see, some of the cessationists will say it just was only for the apostles, only for the disciples. Why did they write so much about it? Why did Paul say to give unto everyone for the manifestation of good if it was only for them? And they believed and they prayed. And others prayed. And then the emotional pastor who wasn't there was praying unto Paul, please heal Pete. Please, God, take away that cancer from his liver. Does God hear prayer? Does our God hear prayers? Paul says, you've been listening to idols. You've been worshiping idols that have no ears, that have no mouth. They don't hear your prayers. Our God hears prayers. Now, if I said, well, I think Roach has the gift of healing. Come on, I need you, Roach. I need you to pray for Pete. I need you to put your hand right on his liver, and I need you to pray for him because you have the gift of healing. Where does the attention go? If we're praying and we're asking for God to do a work of healing, and there's, I don't know how many were here, Paul. You have to keep track of numbers. It's all about numbers. Oh, man, I wonder what I'm going to teach these people, Lord. How long? So I'm going to say 150 people. 200! If God heals, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? God does. Who's moving? God is. God's moving you to pray. God's moving you to study His Word. God's moving you to share a testimony of faith to someone. It's God who gets the glory. And then the last one is continualists. They don't believe in a second blessing, that it has to be a prayer over a second baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they believe that a wave of the Holy Spirit is coming, and they'll look historically and say, here when the charismatic movement started was when the first wave came, and now a second wave and a third wave when there was revivals, moving of the Holy Spirit. And the positive part about that view, that understanding is that the Holy Spirit's still moving. Thank you. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is still has freedom in our church to move and to heal and to do works and to testify. Didn't get those 12 in, did I? I got 8. So I need to wrap it up. The danger of this one here is they really have a lot of them. I'm not trying to categorize everybody, but a lot of them have gone to so much emotionalism that they put the experience, and they say the experience is higher than the Word of God. So let me just read one of the criticisms so that you can test. The miraculous gifts are portrayed in the Gospel and the Acts, and the Book of Acts are here today, and the Spirit is alive. I believe that. So I would be in agreement with them. And there's multiple denominations that are a part of this kind of third wave, this signs and wonders. God is doing a new work. He's bringing in revival. But the criticism is that some third wave proponents deny the sufficiency and the authority of the Word of God. If anything is happening in this place that is not in agreement with this Word, then beware. And they've moved to a place where our experience is much more valuable and more important than sound doctrine. That personal experience plays a greater role for determining truth than sound doctrine. You see, Satan has always been a reflector of light. He can masquerade as light. He can mirror any of the spiritual gifts. And so we have to test. Jesus went to the Pharisees who had all this good head knowledge, and he says, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." Put those two together. You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures and you do not know the power of God. I want to know the Scriptures. I want to know the power of God. I want to ask, was Jesus exalted in worship today? Was the body built up? Is there any evidence that the Spirit was at work? And here's the evidence that Paul is very clear. And if you read some of those other passages, you'll see it. He is so clear that you cannot testify that Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Spirit is moving in you. And so if the Spirit is moving in us today, then somebody is ready to testify and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And maybe you've never made that profession. And you want to do that today. Would anybody come up at this today and just say, sit with me and say, sit up here in this front row with me and say, if anybody wants to pray to receive Jesus Christ, if you feel like the Holy Spirit's convicting you and said, I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe that I can't do it. I have to turn. I have to repent. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's with how the Holy Spirit works. He convicts us and He calls us to follow Jesus Christ. Would anyone want to pray with somebody if they were wanted to pray that? Come right up here then and join me right now. Because somebody may want to pray to receive, to say, it's not a walk forward and I'm going to pray this special prayer. It's I am going to turn from my idols, my sin, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. That's the number one job of the Holy Spirit. Exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Testify to Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Now, the worship team is going to come up. You have to choose whether you'll pray or help lead in worship. Okay? And the rest of you are dismissed. But if you... I've accepted Christ. So I can only tell you what God's doing in my heart today. I believe I've quenched the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to do that. And so all I'm going to do is stay here in prayer and pray that, Holy Spirit, you have freedom here. I'm not in control anymore. How many times have I had to pray that prayer? Way too many times. I'm not in control. It's your church. It's your body. Please move, Holy Spirit. Why? So that Jesus is exalted in my life. So that my life lines up with the Word of God. And this body is strengthened and built up to be the people that you've called us to be. In this body, in this place, right now, today, for the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you are welcome to just stay and pray that the Spirit will do a new work in us, a good work. If anyone serves, they should do it in the strength of God, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory. The power forever and ever. A call to repentance has been given. If you are ready to turn from your old way and receive Christ, these men are willing to pray with you. A second call. A call to dependence. I will depend on the Holy Spirit's work.